My name is Pratyusha Parkala, and we are back with another episode of the Prana Cafe. And just to remind you, Prana is a Sanskrit word. It means life. And I'm trying to bring in as much life as possible into the podcast by discussing things that are meaningful, things about environment, sustainability, and climate change, things that matter to you and me. And what is it that, you know, I specifically want to talk about this week? Actually, to tell you, 22nd February to the 7th of March, the week that is just coming up, it's called as the Fair Trade Fortnight. Now, what is fair trade? Fortnight is obvious. It's 15 days, like a couple of weeks. But what is fair trade? Even that is obvious. It is business with a little bit of fairness. You know, when you think of business, it's usually just making profits, just getting a lot of money. I don't care about the consumer. I don't care about the nature. That's the usual expectation. But when someone says that a product is fair trade, it means that the business is done with a lot of consciousness, a lot of fairness. They're thinking about the environment. They're thinking about the farmers, all the people involved in supply chain. Now, to discuss this very topic, I didn't want to bore you just by talking. So I have a guest on the podcast, and that's Demi. Hi, Demi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am great. So can you please introduce ourselves, because this is the first time you're on the Prana Cafe podcast?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Demi. I'm actually studying my master's with Pratyusha. That's how we met. And I just wanted to have an opportunity to talk about some things that we care about together.
Absolutely. And also Demi is a teacher. What do you teach, Demi?
Yes, so I'm also an English teacher in secondary schools. So obviously at the moment the schools are shut, but usually I'd be in teaching some teenagers.
That's lovely. You know, it's a great way to give back whatever you've learned. To teach someone else is to learn in itself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always learning.
Yeah, and you know, that's the sort of thing that happens with the podcast as well. When I'm trying to research on a topic, and you've seen it too, like when you're researching on a topic, you try to dig deeper when you're trying to tell someone, so you get your facts and figures right. You get all the information right. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a good responsibility.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So this week's topic, we're talking about fair trade movement. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Because I know you're passionate about this topic and you really have some things to say.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, I saw that the Fair Trade Fortnight was coming up and I thought it'd be great to talk about it. It's obviously, like you kind of touched on already, it's a movement really that started to try and encourage businesses to use and pay farmers a fair wage rather than paying them an unjust amount of money for the work that they do. It also encourages sustainability. So, you know, in terms of social justice and the environment, it's something that I'm really passionate about and I think is really important. Lots of big companies do use it, but they don't use it for all of their products. So that's something that I would really like to change.
Right. So you said there are big companies and some of them are, you know, conscious about it. What kind of products, like, you know, is it rice or wheat? What kind of products are usually in this fair trade segment?
Yeah, so a lot of the things you'll often see the fair trade mark on chocolate or coffee, some fruit and vegetables like bananas. There are things like cotton and rice as well. So it's really just a lot of the produce that is made or grown, in poorer countries that richer countries generally take advantage of. So that's why the fair trade movement started in the first place.
Right. So when there is, say, an unequal flow, someone just, asking another developing country or a struggling farmer to grow something, but take it from them at a very low price and trade it at a very high price. In fact, I've seen this documentary, I think on Netflix, about how chocolate and cocoa in Africa is so unfairly traded. And, you know, they probably get a few pence, but it is sold at, you know, hundreds and thousands of pounds in the international market.
Yeah, it's really bad. The amount of money that they will often pay when it's not fair trade, that they'll pay the farmers is below the market value. So they really do take advantage of them. It's really bad.
Right. So you mentioned earlier that, say on chocolate, there is fair trade. So how do you look for this? Like, is it written on the chocolate? Or if I go to a supermarket, obviously there are so many aisles, so many different products. So what am I looking for when someone says fair trade?
Yeah, so it's usually so say carrying on with chocolate, it will be down the chocolate aisle, it'll be with the other chocolate items, and you've just got to look for that logo. So it's just like a little sort of stick person with the blue and is it yellow or green? I don't know. I'm
Okay,
slightly
so it's written fair trade.
colorblind.
Is it written, fair trade is written on the product?
Yes, it always says fair trade on there.
Okay, so it's a matter of taking one extra second to flip the product and look for the fair trade symbol.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, the packaging and things like that is always a big giveaway as well. I find that they tend to use less plastic and that sort of film that a lot of chocolate comes in. So it's easy to find. And sometimes it is more expensive, but I think a big part of making the right choices and being conscious about your decisions is understanding that paying that bit more, you are paying for a reason. So even though it might be more expensive, it means that the person that has grown that or, been a part of the production of it is actually being paid a fair wage. So it really is worth that extra pound, you know?
Wow, I actually see a triple win here. One is you're definitely consuming a better product. And I just didn't think about the farmers until you mentioned. I mean, I was just thinking about the farmers, but since you also mentioned, now I realize a fair trade product like a chocolate is usually come in a paper packaging or a cardboard packaging as opposed to just being wrapped in plastic. So you're also moving towards a more sustainable consumption and like a little less plastic in your products. So that is good. And ultimately, when you are trying to, serve the society or give back in some way, it doesn't have to be just giving away to charity, but actually investing in the process. Like you said, the farmers get a fair wage this way, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, like we say, the conscious choices and just thinking a bit more about what you're buying and why you are buying it is really important for all of those different reasons.
Right. And how do you see the economic impact of it? Of course, we are talking about being noble, being sustainable, but is there an economic impact of fair trade?
Yeah, so obviously in the different countries, there's loads of, I think it's like 73 countries in the world that are involved. So within these countries, the fair trade minimum price supports the farmers to become more income secure and less vulnerable to poverty. So obviously in terms of each country, that's going to have a great impact on their economy. It's also just gradually empowering communities to, organize into their own cooperatives, and it gives them a chance to negotiate their position within the supply chain, and they can then negotiate their goods at a higher price. So again, it all kind of comes back round if the poorest people are able to get more for what they're doing, then the economy of those countries is always going to benefit from that. And it also improves access to the agricultural services, like organic training. So, as a result, the farmers just have better incentives to farm better and sell more. So, it really does just, better everybody involved, in my opinion.
I think that totally makes sense. And that extra pound that you were talking about, how you know why you're paying that, because that is how much they should be getting in the first place, or that is the real value of the product, right?
Yes, definitely.
Oh wow. I mean, this is a lot to take in. I mean, it's not just buying something which is just half a pound cheaper, but why is it cheaper and how is it sourced? That is something, that's the kind of thinking that we should It should be more natural to us going forward, maybe. I mean, it should come so naturally. Like when you say, when I'm picking vegetables, I look for the freshest produce or the nicest one or the organic one or the pesticide-free one. Similarly, even for packaged goods or even for fruits and vegetables for that matter, you're taking that extra second to think about the source as well, right?
Yeah, it's so important. And I think it's something that, I mean, we were saying, you know, how great it is to be a teacher and the things that you pass on. And these are the sorts of things that I think are missing from education in general, to be honest, because maybe if I was taught these things from a young age, then it would be something that comes natural and is just part of, you know, my everyday shopping and what I expect from the things that I buy. But like you said right at the start, the expectation, we have very low expectations of the sort of supply chain and where it comes from and the harm and damage that it has on the people that are involved and on the environment as well.
I mean, so true. But since you just picked the word environment, what could be the environmental impacts of fair trade? Of course, there's this fair trade standard. We are talking about the sustainability aspect of it. But what does it look like?
Yeah, so It covers key areas for environmental protection. So that all of these things are included in the fair trade standards. So these are, you know, the things that they expect from the farmers. So that helps with greenhouse gas emission and as in reducing it, the soil and water quality, pest management, biodiversity protection, all of those sorts of things. So that's really key, the fact that that's something that they encourage with all of the farmers they work with. They also promote training for farmers so they can switch to more environmentally friendly practices, such as developing nutrient-rich soils to encourage wildlife and help to control pests and diseases. And, you know, a big problem with farming all over the world is that it encourages monocultures. So these sorts of things can make a real difference to biodiversity. And, you know, it is those little things where if farmers all over the world are taught about how to encourage wildlife, then it can make a difference and we can still get things that we like chocolate. And then for some farmers as well, the organic farmers, it means that they've switched to less toxic pesticides, so which are obviously better for us, better for the farmers and the producers, and better for the environment. And it also provides access to finance, support and expertise in tackling climate change and supporting long-term environmental sustainability. So they don't just think about the short term, but they try and help the farmers think about the long term and how they can, you know, look after their land, look after themselves, and help in prevent climate change.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot wider and deeper than what it looks like on the surface. Let me just try and understand that. It's not just that the farmers are being paid better wages, or it's not just the economic benefit, but if I am going to be tilling and growing and cultivating in that land, if I'm also able to protect that land, because if I'm a big industrialist or a big supermarket chain, if you're not growing enough bananas, I can go to another farmer. But for that particular farmer, maybe I'm the only source of income, and that piece of land may be the only source of income. But if you're teaching them, or if you're helping them, enabling them to take care of the environment, take care of the soil, use organic farming, then it's going to go such a long way, right?
Yeah, definitely. Ooh. It's that long-term thinking. It's really great.
Okay, so the word fair in fair trade has a lot of dimensions: economic, sustainability, environmentally conscious, and it's almost like a social responsibility to, you know, consider using fair trade products, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So, obviously all of us like stories. When we are talking about all these theories and concepts and the word sustainability, which is so overused right now. But if If as a person who's just hearing to the conversation for the first time, is there any situation that you might have come across which says, okay, this is why fair trade is important? Do you have any instance like that that you could share with the listeners?
Yeah, sure. So it's a story that I sort of came across just when I was doing lots of research into this. And if you go onto the Fair Trade website, they do have a lot, and you know, you can see straight away why it's so fantastic. But there is a area of Peru, I'm gonna try and pronounce it, I apologize if I completely mess it up. Sesavasa. That could be completely wrong, so I'm sorry to the listeners.
So I think it could be a homework for the listeners to go find this place and tell Demi and me
how you say it.
Yeah, is it Kekovasa, Sesovasa? I don't know, something of that.
Area in Peru, anyway. So they're famous for growing coffee, but it's actually characterized as a really impoverished area, and the coffee farmers struggle on low incomes, and you know, they've suffered for a long time. They have low yields, they don't get paid a lot for the coffee that they make, that they grow, sorry. So it's, yeah, like I say, a very impoverished area. 72% didn't have safe drinking water, 68% have no electricity, 34% of the area have poor sanitation, and child malnutrition is as high as 41%. So, you know, you can see from the sort of statistics that it's not it's not a salubrious area by any means. But since using fair trade, obviously, you know, miracles don't happen overnight, but the area has improved massively. And even just by fair trade kind of coming in and helping the farmers to understand how to basically prevent the big companies from taking advantage of them, it's had a really great impact on the individual farmers. And well, obviously that then bleeds into the village and the town and the people that surround them and the people that they look after. So yeah, it's like I say, if you go on the Fair Trade website, there's lots of stories like that. But it just kind of shows how, even if they just get taught a few basic ways on how to defend themselves, really, and how to prevent themselves from being completely taken advantage of, then it can go a really long way. And hopefully the progress in this area and in all the other areas that fair trade are helping will just keep improving, and eventually, you know, in a perfect world, there won't be such a disparity in income.
Well, perfect world. That, I mean, the perfect world. I think, I totally would not want to laugh away that idea, because every day, everything that we do, everything that we purchase, or the way we behave, it's a step towards it. It's a constant process where, you know, even the littlest thing that you buy or change can go a long way.
Yeah, definitely. Just those Absolutely. Little steps that you make can make such a difference. And, Absolutely. You know, some people say, oh, well, I'm just one person. But if everybody thinks like that, then nothing's ever going to change. So you need to be that person that does change things.
And if everybody thinks that way, that, you know, I'm one person, it will change.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, thanks, Demi. I mean, that's just a lot of information and a lot of valuable inputs there. And like we said in the beginning, the 22nd February to the 7th of March, that's the Fair Trade Fortnight. So how can we be involved during these things? Is there any way we can participate, or is there anything that's going on? Or if even if it's, you know, specific to the UK, what's up in the Fair Trade Week, Fortnight?
So basically, if you go onto the Fair Trade website, so I don't know if you can add a link onto this.
I will put it in the description.
Yeah. So yeah, if you go onto the Fair Trade website, there's a whole section on how you can get involved on the current campaign. So it'll tell you about the Fair Trade Fortnight. If you want your company that you work for, or the school that you're at, the university you're in, then you can go on to the different sections on there, and it'll tell you all the ways that you can get involved. So, you know, even if you just go on the website and learn some things for yourself, or if you just start buying some fair trade things and thinking about what you're buying, then yeah, just those little things can really help, and just encourage others to buy it, really. That's one way to, you know, really make a change, is the
word
more people
of
that
mouth.
Think about it. Yeah, exactly.
And I believe there are at least close 1500 plus organizations that are fair trade certified, right? And that is,
yes,
73 countries. It is there in, you know, even countries like Kenya or India or Ecuador or Costa Rica, whichever country you're there, like 73 is quite a big number. It's not just one or two countries. It's not just the US and the UK, but quite a few countries have come on board and said, like, you know, let's do this for, you know, for the sustainability of farmers, in terms of ethics or environment or economics, in all aspects. So, you know, try and get involved, be a more conscious consumer. And is there anything else that you want to add about this, Demi, or, you know, we'd leave it to the listeners to make those decisions?
Yeah, I mean, really just think about all of the choices that you're making with everything that you buy when it comes to the packaging or the people that have been in the process of making it. Just be as conscious as you can, and fair trade is just one way of doing that.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Demi. I'm so glad you made it to the podcast, and I loved our conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Bye.
Bye.
And for all the listeners, the Prana Cafe podcast is on various platforms. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor.fm, for which you wouldn't even need an app. And if you want to reach out to me on my social media platforms, it is Pratyusha, CFA 18. CFA is Climate Force Ambassador. And the spelling Pratyusha, CFA 18. I'm available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So you can reach out to me. And I hope I'll see you very soon with another episode of the Prana Cafe podcast. And until then, you take care. Lots of love. Bye-bye.